Hi, everyone. You're listening to Raining Diapers and Tears. I'm Andy.
And I'm Nicole.
Last episode, we talked about the birth of our child. On today's episode, we're going to talk about our first couple of days with our new baby. We hope you enjoy the show. So what a crazy week. This is kind of a little bit behind schedule for us, right?
Yeah, we've been having a rough week with bedtime.
Yeah, little guy has not been allowing us to make these episodes, so we're running a little bit behind schedule. I think we want to release it on a Wednesday.
Yeah, I think we're going to aim for every Wednesday to release the episodes.
Yeah, I know we wanted to record over the weekend, but we went pumpkin picking, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, so we went pumpkin picking with him for the first time. It was a little chilly and it started to drizzle, so it was a very quick trip, but we were able to snap some pictures.
But what did you think of the place? It was somewhere new.
Yeah, it was cool, actually. It was a really small place. Like, they didn't really have any nice setups or anything for pictures, but they had a nice pumpkin patch. And one thing that I saw they had that was really cool is they had a huge sunflower field. So I really want to go there when the sunflowers are in season.
Yeah, and the guy was saying that they're like 3 years old, and whatever they don't sell sunflower-wise, they harvest, and they make sunflower oil and sunflower like baking, like oatmeal cookies they had, sunflower oatmeal cookie mix and brownie mix. So that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And I guess they do live music too every weekend, so something maybe we should check out in the future.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but all right, so we're recording now, getting back on track, and we're going to be diving right into episode 3 here. So the baby was just born, and now we're having our first moments with our baby. Do you remember what you thought? Like, what was rushing through your head after, like, the initial rush of you delivering the baby?
I think I was just, like, overwhelmed with emotions that I didn't really, like, have any immediate thoughts. I mean, I guess I did. I was just like, oh, my God, like, this is our son. This is our baby.
Yeah, our lives, like, are changed forever now.
We have a child now. So I think that's really what was running through my head, because I just, like, both of us just were basically crying as soon as he came out. We were both crying.
Yeah, I was really emotional. I can't believe how emotional I was. Even guys at work were talking to me, you know, as I've been back in the office and I'm seeing people pop in and they're all asking me how, like, the experience was and how our baby's doing. Just, you know, a lot of them were saying it's super emotional, right? And it really was. I just remember crying so much.
Yeah.
And just thinking about it over and over in my head was just making me emotional. And, like, thinking about you and watching what you went through and how powerful that was. It was, and then just thinking about, like, my own dad and my own mom and how your parents are going to react. You think about your childhood and how you're not the baby of the family anymore. Now you have a baby. So it's just really cool and, like, super emotional. And it took me probably, like, I don't know, to the second day in the hospital after the baby was born to just come out of that, like, real emotional state.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't remember my exact first thoughts. It was just a whirlwind of emotions.
I did have a moment of, like, oh, shit, when are we going to sleep? Like, all right, now this baby's here and that's it. They give you the baby and they're like, see ya. And there's no operating manual. There's no instructions or anything. Nope. So no. You're like, this baby's literally brand new to the world, taking its first breath. And
literally came into the world wailing. It's like, oh, that's going to be the music of our lives now.
Yeah. And it's like, you're on the clock. It's like, okay, you're up. Take care of it. Like, you make sure this baby survives. It's really kind of, like, scary too. You're afraid of messing up. And I don't know. It's just a lot. It's like all the responsibility just hits you right then. Not that you didn't know it was going to be like that beforehand, but it's just all on your face now.
Yeah. It just, like, hits you at that point. Like, oh, this is real.
Yeah. So I remember we, you know, came to, like, we settled down, I guess, with our son being in the world. And then it moved on to, all right, let's start contacting our family.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember the first person we called was your mom. And our baby was born he was born 4:45 in the morning. But yeah. I'm sure we called her a little bit after that. So do you remember that conversation at all?
Yeah. So since it was so early in the morning, it was so dark out still. And I remember we FaceTimed my parents because, again, our baby was born during this whole COVID pandemic. So, you know, we couldn't have that moment of going into the waiting room and announcing to our friends and our family that are waiting there. So we had to just do everything over the phone. So we decided to FaceTime my family, and I'm pretty sure I woke my mom up. Somehow she slept. I don't know how, knowing that I was in labor. She probably just fell asleep
because yeah. I was giving her and my mom also live updates like to the minute. So I know she was awake the whole night, but she must have probably just crashed.
Yeah. So I called her and, you know, introduced her, showed her the baby and everything. And she didn't even like say much or have much of a reaction at that point. I think because she like literally just woken up. So I don't think like she was able to register it until like later on in the day when we spoke again. So her initial reaction, she was waking up from sleep. So she was like happy, but yeah, not as happy. But not as excited as I was expecting. And again, I think it's because I woke her up. So
yeah, I know. Well, like you said, it's different because they weren't there in the hospital with us.
Yeah.
So it's like she was home. She was getting updates as like a live feed from me. So it's like she knew what was happening. And she knew, I think, when the baby was born that you're okay. The baby's healthy. Everybody's healthy. So I don't know. It was definitely a different experience. Like, I wish, obviously, COVID never happened for many reasons, but it would have been cool experiencing our first family the traditional way where I run out, especially because nobody knew the gender.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's a boy.
Yeah. Everyone was excited to find out. So, and then do you remember contacting your side of the family? Well,
I do remember throughout the night in, like, you know, the spare moments that I had to myself where you would maybe take, like, a 5-minute, like, snooze or just kind of, like, be in your own zone with your eyes closed to try to like push through. I started writing in my notes app different things I wanted to say to my parents. And I remember I wrote, you know, I was like editing just because I wanted to make sure I said the right thing. And it was, like I said, super emotional. So I wrote this whole big message to my dad and I wrote this whole big message to my mom. And as soon as the baby was born, I had them and I was able to send it to both of them. So I texted them before I spoke via like FaceTime or spoke on the phone. And that was really cool. Like, I'll never forget that experience. That it was just really emotional for me. It was, I don't know, like, I wish my grandparents were here. My grandparents on my dad's side passed away. So I remember saying that to my dad and, you know, him saying, I wish they were here too, obviously. And that was upsetting. And I remember texting my sister. And then I also wrote this message to you. That was so hard to write. I was like crying and hiding it from you because I was just so proud of you and I love you so much that it was just really hard. And it was really a letter to our son that I wrote about you, about how lucky he is to have you and how lucky I am to have you and how that you're going to be his guardian angel throughout life. Like, you're going to be his just inspiration for all the strength he's going to have. So that was really emotional, just thinking about you and thinking about our son and thinking about how lucky he is. And then, like I said, really emotional just telling my dad, like, hey, dad, I'm a dad now. And like, thank you for everything you've done and for being the father that I always needed. And, you know, just all that stuff. I guess I don't want to say it's like cliche, but I don't know. It was an experience. And then I don't remember FaceTiming them. I think I FaceTimed my mom when she was with your mom. They went to get breakfast together.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I don't think I FaceTimed them until we moved to the recovery room.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really remember FaceTiming them either, but I do recall you FaceTiming your mom and she was with my mom. They were like getting breakfast together.
Which was cool. I'm happy they did that.
Yeah, and that whole letter that you wrote too, I remember like you showing that to me a couple hours later. So it's like all the emotions came flooding back and I just immediately started crying and then you started crying again and it was just a hot mess when you showed me that letter.
Well, I remember how difficult it was for me to write it and how like I was literally crying the whole time writing it.
Yeah, and I never even noticed that. I mean, I was in the throes of labor, so of course, I was a little preoccupied.
Right. You had a job to do.
But I did not notice that at all.
But I remember watching you read it, and I was just hoping you'd have some kind of reaction. Not, you know, maybe the one you did, but I just wanted you to
know. What did you expect me not to cry? I mean,
well, I don't know. It'd be like, I never know with you because, you know, I guess you are kind of emotional sometimes, or like too emotional, but then other times you're not. So it's like, sometimes I don't know how you're going to take things,
yeah.
But it was definitely really cool to see how you reacted to it.
Yeah. I don't think I could have read that without crying.
Yeah.
Very emotional letter. It was really nice.
Well, that's cool. So now, really important, food. Everybody loves food. And hospital food is really not that bad. I remember I got peach cobbler at like every single meal. It was awesome.
Yeah. Andy ordered peach cobbler as his dessert for every meal while we were in the hospital because he had it like the first night. He was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah,
so he
best
just
I've ever had.
He had to have it every night after that, or with every meal, I should say.
Yeah. And like, fat season has been in for me for I don't know how many months now. What, we're up to like 12, including you being pregnant and him being born, somewhere around
pretty
there.
Pretty much. Yeah.
So I remember close. Like there's a theory that husbands grow as their wives grow. And I feel like I definitely took to that pretty well. So those peach cobblers were really helping me achieve my goal. But do you remember your first meal? Because now you can have things that you couldn't have before, like cold cuts and I don't know what other stuff you weren't able to eat before. But I'm pretty sure you can eat it now, right? As soon as he's out, you're good to go?
Yeah. Well, my first meal wasn't anything crazy, but I remember I got an omelet. I might have gotten like ham in it or something, which like I avoided cold cuts. You know, my first doctor before I switched, she told me I could have cold cuts, but not to have them too often. So I tried to avoid them as much as possible during my pregnancy. So I might have gotten ham in my omelet, but I remember an omelet was the first meal because once the baby was out and like after all the initial like shock and emotions and everything, I was like, wow, I'm really tired and I'm also really hungry. Like right. I need to eat something.
Yeah, you need to put energy back in your system because you just were going crazy pushing a baby out.
Yeah, and like in labor for hours. And like I remember I was about to eat like a snack right before they started the Pitocin. So it's like literally I took a bite of whatever the snack was and then they were like, all right, we're hooking you up to something else now. And then, like I said in the previous episode, once the Pitocin started, things got really intense. So I completely forgot about eating at that point.
Yeah, but the food there was really good. I think I got an omelet too. Then after that, I don't know. I remember when they put us in the recovery room, they gave us like a celebratory dinner where you could have like a New York strip or you could have some other kind of fancy meal. So we both got, I think, the New York strips. And that was good. They really took care of us. Like everybody, the nurses, the chefs, like in the kitchen, every single person was like super nice and helpful. So that was cool. Our stay at the hospital was not a horror story like some people, I guess, say they'd have. It was really a good experience for us.
Yeah, everybody that worked with us was great. And like Andy said, it was really cool in the recovery room. They have this like special like celebratory meal. So we got this like fancy meal with like sparkling cider and everything. Yeah. Like it was, and it was actually really, really good. Like the hospital food honestly wasn't that bad at all.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
No, it was cool. But so going back to us moving rooms. So now the baby's out. They put the baby in the bassinet. I think they talked to you a little bit about breastfeeding. I think they maybe had you try before we moved?
Yeah, I think we started in that room because you're supposed to start pretty soon after the baby comes out.
Yep. So, and then we feel like we're being, at least I did, felt like we were being pressured to move because there was another couple who were pregnant who needed the room. And now, you know, the job's done, the baby's out, movie to recovery, let's go. So we did get our food. We ate our first meal. And I remember just like scrambling and throwing stuff in random places in bags. Like I didn't have it organized. I was just trying to get out of everybody's way. And I remember your mom gave us, I don't know if you want to talk about it.
Yeah. So there was this little like rosary thing, these rosary beads. And it was in this like teeny little booklet thing. My mom had given it to me just, you know, to, like as a good luck thing. She takes it with her whenever she travels. And it's something that I think she said it was blessed. I don't know if it was from Portugal. I think it was actually. I'm pretty sure it came from Portugal. It was blessed. And it was actually something that my grandma, her mom had in her hands when she passed away a couple of years ago. So, like I said, my mom just kind of used it as a good luck thing, like to keep her safe when she's traveling. So she gave it to me for my labor, and I wanted it like near me at all times. But it was like this little rosary in a teeny little book. Like literally it was like the book was like the size of my palm. So it was very small. So we kind of kept it on the table next to me throughout the whole labor.
Yeah, throughout all of it. And so you weren't holding it because, you know, you had so much going on, but it was right beside you.
Yeah, so it was next to me so I could like see it, but I wasn't holding it, obviously, since there was so much going on throughout the whole thing. So, you know, after I give birth, they give us like 2 hours or something. It didn't feel like that.
Yeah, it felt like 5 minutes.
Yeah, we felt like we were being rushed, like Andy said, since someone else needed the room. But I had to stay there for 2 hours because of the epidural. So after those 2 hours, then, you know, Andy, we eat our meals. Andy's packing up and they are like, all right, let's get you to the bathroom, like get you walking or whatever. So I got up to try walking for the first time right before we moved to our recovery room. So I get out of the bed, and since I had the epidural, I was still a little bit numb, obviously. And so I was walking a little bit funny because of that. My right leg was actually more numb than my left. So I think Andy noticed it, but I guess my right leg was like dragging around a little bit and looking kind of funny as I tried to work my way to the bathroom.
That was the funniest part. You're just dragging your foot. I was like, oh no, you're like a zombie. It's like Night of the Living Dead, Night of the Living Baby Delivery. I was like, oh man, I hope her foot comes back.
Yeah, I mean, I could feel my leg and everything.
Yeah, no, you look fine. Time, it was just a little funny.
Yeah. So, you know, go to the bathroom with the nurse, do my thing. She shows me all this stuff I have to do, which is a whole new process going to the bathroom.
And I remember seeing that and just thinking about how amazing it is for you guys, just women in general, to give birth, because you did all that and now there's this recovery period. Mm-hmm. But you're not doing that like laying in bed and sleeping when you want and getting out. Like, no, you're also nursing a baby, or trying to nurse. You're worried about this newborn that we have no experience with. So I remember thinking like, oh shit, this is gonna be hard for me too, like selfishly. It's like, wow, because I'm gonna be afraid just to keep this baby alive, but then also I'm gonna be worried about you and how you're recovering. And I just knew that our lives changed forever, and just, I don't know, it's going to be so much more responsibility now. I'm not going to be able to like do things for myself like I could before. Even just, you know, like a week before during COVID, I was able to go up and down the stairs, play video games, run out, like whatever I wanted to do. And now I got to take care of you and the baby. It's just a lot of it hits you at once he entered the world. It's like, okay, now it's really for real.
Yeah. Yeah, so after they get me up and walking, then it's finally time for us to move to our new room. So go to the bathroom. Nurse shows me all this new stuff I have to do every time I use the bathroom, which is super fun. It's like a 20-minute process now, and Andy had to help me as part of the recovery.
Yeah, I feel like just until recently, I wiped your butt more than I wiped the baby's butt. Now I think the baby has probably surpassed you.
I'm pretty sure the baby has surpassed.
Don't ever forget that I wiped your butt, though. A lot. I cleaned up a lot of your mess.
Yes, I've wiped. You did.
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah. But I did it all out of love, though. So it was, I don't know, it was an honor to do it, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I definitely appreciate that, because that whole 20-minute peeing process was not fun.
No, I know. You really went through the ringer there, but nice job.
So it's finally time to move to the recovery room. So they put me into a wheelchair. Andy packed up all of her things as quickly as possible.
Yeah, then the nurse pushed you and I pushed the baby.
Yeah.
Which was carrying.
Yeah.
No, we went back for some of the bags. Like, it wasn't carrying so much that it was, like, dangerous where I could tip over. But I carried, like, one or two things, whatever I was, like, manageable to do. And then I pushed the baby, and just, like, looking at him, it was so cool. Push the baby into the room, follow you. Then I went back with the nurse because I had to be escorted, obviously, with COVID. I didn't want somebody like throw me out of the hospital because it really wasn't allowed to leave the room.
Yeah.
But we go back into the recovery room, and I think one of us, you or me, doesn't matter, I can't remember. It's like, oh, did you grab the beads? And I remember having the fear of God in me. I was more afraid of telling your mom that we lost those than being afraid of taking care of this newborn that I have no experience taking care of. So like panic set in across my face and across yours too. And I called the front desk and they called the room you were just in that already had another pregnant lady in there.
Yeah, they turned that room over real quick because literally as soon as we like sat down and like settled into the new room, I was like, wait, did you grab the rosary beads? Did you pack them?
Right. So we knew they were missing. Called the front desk. They tried to have the other room like scanned. It was already cleaned. It's not there. So
yeah, they called back and they were like, I'm sorry, we didn't find anything. So we're like, great. So Andy checks like one bag quickly, nothing. And I'm like, all right, like, you know, hopefully we'll come across them at some point. But again, I'm in recovery, like I'm in pain. So I'm not really like moving around much. So I was like, I just don't have the energy. Plus we were tired since we barely slept the 2 days before. Yeah.
We're going to be tired for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
But no, I just remember being very scared of your mom and being like, all right, it's your job to tell her. And I don't want to be around. Like, let me go do something so I'm not around when you tell her those are missing.
Yeah. And I was just hoping that she wouldn't ask me about them or say something about them. I was like, please don't mention them because I just don't want to deal with that right now. Thankfully, she didn't mention them.
No.
So we didn't have to worry about that.
Well, all right. Actually, let's take like a 5-minute break because I hear the baby, then we'll start back up. You okay with that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Back from break. I guess we just want to talk about now our room because our room was absolutely stunning and beautiful. It was right on the Hudson River. And I think it was way cooler than I thought it was going to be because your delivery room was like a prison cell. It was tiny.
It was tiny.
Felt like I couldn't even like stand up and move anywhere. So I was expecting the recovery to be somewhat similar.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny because in the delivery room, there was like a crowd of people at one point when I was pushing. But our recovery room was massive, like way bigger. It was so nice. And we had such a gorgeous view, like the water and all the trees. It was just beautiful.
I remember turning in from the hallway and just being hit by like sunlight and like the beautiful Hudson River. And
yes.
It was just like, wow, this is what it's supposed to be like after you have a baby. Like you felt like you were pampered, like at a five-star hotel.
Yeah. Plus the special meal we mentioned earlier. So it's like we had this gorgeous view and then now we get this special fancy meal.
Right. It was so cool.
It was really cool.
But I just also going back to, I know I said it a bunch of times, I just remember being so tired and just being so afraid of now what do we do? Because the nurses, they like dropped us off and of course they asked, are you okay? Do you need anything? Mm-hmm. But and then it's like, all right, like, see
you. Just, like, leave you in this room with this teeny little human that just entered the world. And you're like, okay, now what?
Yeah. And so you're like, is it okay if I sleep? But then the baby cries. And you're like, well, how do I pick this baby up? And I know you got to, like, watch their neck and their head. And you got to – so much. But I do remember it's like, all right. And I'm sure this is what everybody wants to hear is the first diaper change. I remember putting on like the medical gloves and everything. And I think there's a picture of me changing the first diaper with the gloves on. And my mom or my sister gave me crap for it, I'm pretty sure. But
yeah, I think I was sitting in a chair and I don't know, we heard the baby poop and we were like, uh-oh, time to change the first diaper. So I'm like, I need to document this because Andy goes in and he puts the gloves on. And I just like to myself, I'm like, this is too funny, him putting on gloves to change his first diaper. Like, is he thinking he's going to wear gloves every time he has to change a diaper?
Depending on what was in there, maybe. Yeah, I knew there was baby poop. I didn't know how bad it was going to be. I remember from you telling me or, like, the classes we took before you had your delivery that the first poop is like a black tar.
Yeah.
Like somebody's paving your driveway.
Yeah.
And threw it in your baby's diaper.
It's nasty. It's called meconium, their first poop.
Whatever. It is weird.
Yeah. And
so
it's
weird.
Really gross. So do you remember when he opened up his diaper for the first time?
Yeah.
What was that like?
Like I said, like tar. And I remember it being like all in the crevices of his ball sack.
Yeah.
And I remember it's not like it just scrubs off. It's sticky. So I'm like,
I remember that it took like multiple diaper changes to get that poop out of the crevices of his balls.
And then
like,
as soon as
it
you
was
did,
caught in there.
Right. And as soon as you finally cleaned it, like completely clean, he'd poop again and it'd be like on it. But I remember like scrubbing his butt and you don't want to scrub too hard. And it's like, you know, brand new skin, like new to the world.
Yeah, so I took pictures of you because you whip on your gloves. And I'm like this guy with his gloves.
I really went straight for it, though. I didn't hesitate. I didn't have like a shirt over my nose. Like I went straight in. I didn't even like suggest that you help or anything.
Yeah, no, I was impressed. You went straight to change the diaper for the first time. I'm like, this is great. So you put on the gloves. I start taking pictures. See that nasty black tar. And then the baby gives us his first of many surprises.
Oh,
he peed all over himself during his first diaper change.
I don't really remember that.
Maybe because I've been peed on
so many times at this point, but
no, I clearly remember that. It was the very first diaper change and his pee just went shooting up. He had like his little hat on. He got it on his face, on his chest, and we were like
monster. I remember being worried like, "Oh man, did he swallow pee?" Like, "Oh no."
Yeah, so it was definitely an eventful first diaper change for sure.
Even putting on the new diaper and also swaddling him, that was really hard. And you watch the nurses and they're such professionals. And they do it in like 2 seconds and he's tucked up like a little burrito.
Little baby burrito. Yeah, and they make it look so easy. The baby looks so cozy and swaddled. And like we watched multiple nurses do it. We watched it done multiple times and we were always so confused like how the heck do you do this,
because I would wrap him and he would look like he's stuck in a loose pillowcase. You know? I'm like, what the hell,
like this is not tight or swaddled at all.
It was interesting because depending on who swaddled him, it was either they were saying tuck his arms in and make it tight so he can't move it because babies like that better, or they like being able to like calm themselves down by having free range with their hands.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, that must be like a debate about like what's better when it's a newborn.
Yeah. So they could like suck on their hands or something.
Or whatever, like, you know, like they can feel they're not constricted, even though I know people say they like to feel constricted. So.
Yeah. And also every person that showed us how to swaddle, they all did it like a little bit differently.
They did, which was hard.
Yeah. So that made it even harder for us newbies where we had no idea what we were doing. So it's like, wait, do we swaddle this way or that way? Like we didn't know which way was right, which way. I don't think there is a right or wrong.
We got pretty good at
it
eventually.
Yeah, we were able to make some pretty good baby burritos at some point.
Yeah. So, all right, not to get like too detailed with us staying at the hospital once the baby's born, but I remember the first time we were like, okay, the baby's sleeping or is quiet. And the nurse was like, okay, you guys really need to get sleep.
Yeah.
And I remember we were like, but how? Like, what are we supposed to do with the baby? And she was like, well, what are you going to do when you're home with the baby? I remember her saying that, like, you're going to have to sleep. You're in the hospital. Now is the time to get sleep.
Yeah.
And, you know, God forbid something goes wrong, you're in the right place. So I remember being so tired. It wasn't that I didn't care. It was just like, I need to sleep because I'm running on like 3 straight days now of no sleep. And I wanted you to sleep in the worst way.
Yeah. That first day we basically like ate, kind of like caught up with some family and friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously over the phone. And then we just tried our best to get as much sleep as possible because we were both exhausted.
But I remember we didn't sleep because you just couldn't. Because then the baby would cry.
Hard.
We were nervous. I think we didn't sleep for like 4 days, honestly. I really think it was 4.5, maybe close to 5 days where we would get like power naps.
Yeah.
It's not like we didn't sleep at all.
Right.
But we didn't get like – you're not hitting REM sleep. I don't know if we ever will again. But it was tough for sure. That's just like – my biggest thing when I tell people, no one can ever explain to you how hard it is until you go through it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We might have said this earlier in a different episode, But it's like to the point sometimes where you want to cry. Like it's so hard where you're just like, I don't know if I'll ever be able to sleep again. Like screw not having some like selfish times to yourself where you can like go do things, but just sleeping. That hit me real hard. I had a hard time with that. And then of course, day by day, it would get better, but that was hard. Yeah,
that was definitely tough. And I know the first couple of times sleeping with like the baby next to you, it's like if the baby's not making any noise, yeah, you're like, wait, worried. Is the baby okay? So it's like you really are in like a light sleep because it's like you're constantly checking on the baby. And even now, like he's almost 3 months old. And it's like you're still like when I still have him next to me and he's not making any noise, I'm like, I just gotta look like, are you okay in there?
Right. When he's dead silent, you're like, I hope you're still okay.
And it's then, like, I hope you're passed out because I don't want you to wake up right now.
Well, sometimes you feel like you hear him choking. You're like, yo, dude, you all right? Like, grab that baby and stand him up.
Yeah, he'll make these like coughing noises. I'm like, whoa, are you okay? He might be like spitting up or just like, I don't know, coughing or something. I'm like, wait, are you okay? And I like shoot up to check on him.
Yep. Oh, man. So then I remember. Like, I guess we'll wrap it up pretty quick, but I remember there was a leak in our room near the doorway, so we didn't really notice it, but one of the last nights we were there, the nurse, who was such a nice lady, she was like, hey, something smells, like this water smells and it's leaking, we gotta change your room. Mm-hmm. So in the middle of the night, I don't know, around like midnight, 1 a.m, whatever it was. Yeah, I
think that was our last night, actually, that we were staying at the hospital.
They moved us to a different recovery room, and it was not the same view, no, but at that point we didn't care. Like we enjoyed that first room.
Yeah, we were like, well, we spent most of our time in the room with a really nice view. We're like, hopefully we're being discharged tomorrow, the following day. So it's like, whatever. We're looking at a wall through our window now, but
we were just anxious to get home, I think, towards that point.
Yeah, at that point, like we planned to stay an extra night, and actually we ended up kind of needing to for the baby anyway. Right. But we wanted to stay that extra night just to take advantage of being at the hospital, being able to order meals and like try to get as much rest as we could, because like, you know, we could send the baby to the nursery if we wanted to, just to try to get like two or 3 hours of sleep.
I remember when like we had to send the baby to the nursery, which is not a fail. Like I have to say for like future parents or anybody who's listening who is pregnant, don't be afraid of that. Like, you need to get sleep. Yeah. So I remember sending the baby away. Then when the nurse would come back, like it would feel like 10 minutes later, even though it wasn't.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, mom, like the baby's hungry.
Baby's hungry.
And like, oh, like, did you really have to come back? Like, can't you do it, nurse? But obviously the baby needed you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, do I really need to get up for this? But I feel like I would help change the diaper. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also you just mentioned we had to spend an extra night more than we were planning. I don't know if you want to explain to everybody why we had to.
Yeah, so basically it wasn't like a huge issue, but there are these levels. They're called bilirubin levels, and I guess our baby's levels had gone up a little bit. So the pediatrician, saw him like the day he was born, and then he came in and checked with us the next day, and that's when he told us the levels went up a little bit. So he actually would have recommended we stay the night, and we told him, we were like, oh, we already planned to stay the extra night. So basically these levels, like he was a little bit jaundiced. So we just had to wait and make sure the levels weren't going to continue to rise before we discharged. And I guess the levels looked good on that final day. And so that afternoon, good enough for us to leave and be discharged.
I just remember not knowing anything about that. And, you know, come to find out I was the same way as a baby. And I think so was my sister. But I just remember being told that. It's just like, not that there's a problem, but like there's something that maybe you got to be concerned about. It's just so scary.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, man, this baby is just born. Like, I want this baby to be healthy more than anything. I'll give up years of my life to make sure this baby is healthy. And just to hear that, it's really, really scary, even though it thankfully turned out to not be an issue at all. But just, you don't know all these new terms and medical terms that they're telling you and like what to look out for. It's just scary because you never even heard some of this stuff before.
Yeah, it was definitely nerve wracking, but thankfully it was something that ended up not being like a major issue. Right. It's like we just kind of fixed itself. Like, we were told to give him some sunlight and stuff when we were back home, so we tried doing that, and
right. So they
a couple days later, he was good.
Yeah, so they discharged us with all that information, and I remember asking the nurse to, like, put the baby in the car seat so I can see how it's done. She was like, oh, we can't because of liability reasons. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know if this is true, but it sounds legit. So I put the baby in the car seat. I remember carrying every single bag on me. Yeah. It was so hard. I could, like, barely stand straight up and walk. So I put all that in the car. The nurses brought you down in your wheelchair with the baby, and I drove the car up, and that was, like, such a rush, like, leaving you and the baby and, like, driving up to get you. And just that whole car ride home, I was like, please don't hit any bumps. Please be okay, because you're still recovering. You're sore.
Well, yeah, I told you. I was like, please be careful with bumps.
And I'm like, here we go. Any little bump in the road, I'm going to hit a pebble. And she's going to be like, ah, stop. But
I don't think I was that dramatic.
No, you were such a trooper. No, I'm so impressed with you. I could never do what you did. But anyways, the one thing that I'm not sure I mentioned before is anybody who's listening that is expecting right now, if you get asked if you want to spend an extra night in the hospital, do it. Because once you're home, it's just you and, like, whoever your support system is at home. In the hospital, you have the best support system in case of emergency. Yeah. And also you have room service, you know, you have food on call. And it's just take advantage of it. Be nurtured, like, be pampered, come home whenever you're ready. And then, you know, I'll go through that whole experience. But yeah, so going back to, like, the bilirubin, what's it called? Mm-hmm. We had to bring the baby. Our pediatrician called us and said, hey, I got the results after you guys left the hospital. They're a little bit higher than I would like. So you have to bring the baby back to the hospital to get another heel prick. So we brought the baby back, and I remember hating to do that. Just, I did not want the baby to be in the car if the baby didn't have to be in the car. So obviously it had to be in the car. We drove back to the hospital, and we saw them do the heel stick. Any other time, we never saw that happen. Mm-hmm. And I remember feeling so bad seeing them prick his little heel and squeeze his heel to get a couple of, like, little drops of blood.
It was horrible.
Yeah, heartbreaking.
It looked horrible for the poor guy because they were just squeezing and squeezing to get a little tiny vial. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is what he had to do, like, three other times? This poor child.
Yeah, he felt so bad. He didn't realize what he was going through.
Yeah.
But of course, after that, his levels went down, or they, I don't know, they stabilized or whatever.
Yeah, so I think at that point he had, like, reached his peak. So the doctor was like, all right, like, this should, you know, it shouldn't rise anymore because it's been the same number for, like, 2 days or something.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah. And then that's pretty much our story of our first couple of days. I'm sure we're forgetting some things, but maybe we can fill them in on future episodes as we remember. Going forward, we're going to probably start having our guest appear on the show here and there. And that's going to be really exciting. We can't wait for that.
Yeah. Okay, so now we are going to share our parenting success and our parenting fail for this week. So I will start this time. Andy started last time. So for me, I'm going to – my success that I'm going to talk about is – related to bedtime again. I know last week my success was related to bedtime routines. And so I feel like lately we've been pretty good at having, like, a bedtime for the baby. And we've been trying to, like, inch his bedtime up a little bit. But that's kind of been, like, hit or miss. But I think my success is that we've had, like, a certain time where he has been going to bed for, like, not even just the past week. I think the past, like, couple of weeks, he's been going to bed around a certain time pretty consistently. So I definitely think that's a success. But moving the bedtime around is something we're still working on. But that's not my failure. My failure for this week was actually one thing I'm trying to do during the day while Andy's at work is getting the baby to sleep or take naps in his crib. Because his favorite place to nap currently is on me, which makes it very difficult for me to get anything done. So I remember there was one day this past week that I got him into the crib, and a lot of times that I put him in there, he just, like, immediately wakes up, and he didn't wake up immediately. So I was like, okay, good. Like, I can get some stuff done now. And so I have him in the crib, and I have the video camera on him But I notice that I can't really see his nose and his mouth on the camera. So I'm like, oh man, I try adjusting it with the monitor thing because the monitor, you can actually like move the camera around, but I wasn't able to move it to the right angle. So I'm like, I have to physically go into his room and move the camera to be able to see his face and make sure he's okay. So I go into his room. I'm like, this is really daring, but like, I'm just going to try to do it like really fast and really quietly. I open his door. As soon as I open the door, he starts moving and wakes up.
Of course. Little monster.
So I'm like, of course, I got him into the crib asleep and now he's awake. So that was a huge fail for me. What about you? How?
Yeah. But at least you're making really good progress. So even your failures are kind of like successes.
Yeah, I'm trying, but.
Yeah, it's kind of both a failure and a success because he was doing so great with his bottles. I'll bottle feed him once a day, usually around like 6, 7, 8 o'clock, just to give him his vitamin D supplement so that at least you get one break during the day. But he was really good, and then he like regressed and would make like a weird face, like it almost tasted weird, and then he would be really good again. So last night he rejected it, which made me so frustrated. That it's just like, it's tough. You get like, I don't know, you like break down sometimes where you're just like over it. You're like, oh, this baby is just so frustrating. And I remember that like later on, no, the next day, today, you like sent me a video of him and he's smiling and you're like, man, it's so hard to like stay mad at that face. You see, he's so adorable. But tonight, my success, he took the bottle like a champ. It was like 2 or 3 ounces.
Yeah.
And he just like downed it. So I was really happy and proud about that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the bottle's definitely been tough with him, but.
Yeah. But just something to keep working on. And also, I guess another failure is that my success from the last episode, me putting my hands under his head and like rocking him to sleep, doesn't work anymore. So that's been tough. I got to find a new method.
So much for that strategy. That's the thing with parenting, I feel like we're starting to realize, is something will work really well, and then all of a sudden one day, guess what? Doesn't work anymore. You need to find something new.
Super frustrating, for sure.
Yeah. So that was our week. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Raining Diapers and Tears. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Look for our next episode, and you can follow us on Instagram at Raining Diapers and Tears, and you can text or call us at 845-232-0318 with your questions, stories, advice, tips, or topic ideas. We look forward to hearing from you, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.